Well, what is your favorite outfit to wear? When you get finished at the end of a day and you go home, what is your favorite type of dress that you like to get into? A lot of folks say, well, you know, one of my favorite types of dress is when I have the ability to go home and I get into my grungies, as they would put it. Every one of us has all different types of dress for everything that you can imagine in life. There's hunting dress, fishing dress, there's formal dress, casual dress, there's even leisure dress, sleeping dress. Whatever type of dress you can imagine, there is apparel for it in all the stores that you can imagine. But there is one apparel that no believer can afford to be without. It is the dress that God tells you and me that we need to put on whenever it comes to the warfare that you and I face in life. Friend, I don't know what your belief is about demons and principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness, but the Bible says specifically that they're very real. Whenever it comes to the spiritual warfare that you and I fight as Christians of God, there is no neutral ground. There are people who are in military, who are on foreign soil now, and they are armed to the very teeth, so to speak, because they know that if they don't have the armor on, there's a potential incoming and they can potentially die. It is very imperative that every one of us, when it comes to the armor of God, understand that when it comes to this reality about temptation, there is no neutral ground. It's sad that some people will say something like this. Well, you know, I feel like I'm strong enough to weather the storms of life. I feel like I can handle whatever comes into my life. And it's not long that you hear those people talking about some things that have happened in their life. And so it is imperative that you and I dress for battle. Now, you may say, well, you know, that's pretty serious because the Bible says that's the world we live in. We don't live in a world where we're not attacked. How many times was you bombarded with temptation this past week? How many times did something go through your mind that you didn't want there, you didn't ask for it, but it was a hellish temptation, came through your mind, came into your being, and maybe you said, I can't believe what I'm seeing or can't believe what voice I'm hearing. The Bible makes it very clear that God calls you and me to put on the armor. If you'll take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, Paul is talking to the saints at Ephesus. And he is telling them about the warfare they face. And the warfare is no different 2,000 years later. There's one thing you need to understand about demons and satanic warfare, and it's this. They are ageless. In other words, a demon never gets older. He don't wear out from one generation to another. And there's so many more things that I could share with you about that. In other words, they are very specific. They're very pointed whenever it comes to their attack. And you are a target. Every one of us in this building this morning, we're a target of Satan. As a matter of fact, you may say, well, I'm a Christian. I know I'm going to heaven. But how many believers do you know they have stopped somewhere in their life when it comes to learning the Word of God and they have hurt their character, they've hurt their life, and they've hurt their reputation? Nobody listens to them anymore. They're not lost, but here's what they've done. They've impacted so many lives in a negative way that people don't listen to them or look at them anymore in a very serious light. Won't you listen to what the Father is saying to the Apostle John as he's writing in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 16. He's talking to the saints of God, and listen to what he says. Put on the whole armor of God. Or back up to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle, get the picture, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then in verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Paul made no bones about it. He didn't mince his words. He made it very clear and very candid to the saints of God in that day. And you and I need to understand, and how much more so, because number one, we have more people who are not saved. We have more people who give themselves to wicked activity and ungodly activity. And so Paul is reminding all of these saints. He said, if you're going to be a victor when it comes to this area of battle, there is no middle ground. Now think about it for just a moment. Use your God-given mind and think about it. A person is going to battle. If he is not prepared, whenever the bullet is fired, it does not give him a chance to go home and get his artillery on. Policemen now have Kevlar vests, and one of the realities is they have those Kevlar vests, and they will exchange those Kevlar vests about every 5 years. Why? Because the nylon in those Kevlar vests, they have a way of dissipating over about 5 to 7 years, and they have to be reissued. Why? Because when that bullet is shot at the chest, if that Kevlar vest is not ready, that person can die. Friend, the reality about it is every one of us are in a warfare. You may not want to think you're in a warfare, but your thinking doesn't change the truth of Scripture. Paul made it very clear that if you're going to win whenever it comes to the temptations of life, you have to dress for battle. Now, this may be very new to some of you, because a number of years ago when I first heard this truth preached and taught and declared, it was new to me. I thought, well, you know, you just try your best. You try to go through the temptations of life. You try to hold on and you pray and all that. But listen, the reality is if you don't know the truth and if you don't have access and if you don't apply the truth, then you can find yourself somewhere down the line devastated because of the things that happen. And you think, what was wrong with me? It wasn't wrong with you. You just didn't put on the armor. So I want you to follow along in your outline, because you and I need to understand some basic truths. First of all, we have to realize that we have an eternal enemy. There is one person that cannot stand you, and because of that, he is going to do everything he can within his power to devastate your life, to defeat your life, to demoralize you, and that is Satan. Now, Satan can't be everywhere at one time. He can only be one place at one time. Billy Graham said this. He said, I don't think I've ever been of substance that Satan himself has worked on me. He said, I think he's just sent his demons to try to harass me. But the Bible makes it very clear that you and I have an enemy. Now think about it for just a moment. All throughout the pages of Scripture, time and time and time again, you see Satan's activity in the lives of people. Think about it. Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, and Peter said, I'm not going to let you, Lord. Far be it from you to have to die on the cross. But what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. When David was up on top of a roof and he was looking over his kingdom and he saw a woman bathing, and he thought, well, she's very attractive. I think I'll summon her to my kingdom. Satan was behind the temptation. One of the realities that you and I have to face is this. We are in a battle. And, you know, not only do we face the prince and the power of the air, but there are a host of a hellish host that do all they can to try to get you to succumb whenever it comes to temptation. For example, you'll be sitting in that pew right there as you're listening to the preacher preach, and all of a sudden an ungodly missile goes through your mind. An ungodly image goes through your mind. An ungodly picture or an ungodly phrase or something that is very ungodly. You're trying to mind your own business, and all of a sudden these ungodly words go through your mind. It's not that you wanted them, but it's simply the fact of the world that you and I live in. That's why you and I need to understand that we have an eternal enemy. And you see, in truth, there's always constant harassment. Why? Because here's why Satan harasses you as a believer if you're a child of God. He knows he can't get your soul. Now think about this for a moment. Don't you think that it agitates the devil to no end? If you're a child of God, you are no longer a part of the kingdom of darkness. You know, you cannot go to hell. You know, somebody may use a derogatory way, and I've oftentimes told Christians, if somebody tells you to go to, you say, I can't. And the reality is you can't. If you're a child of God, you can't go to hell. It is literally impossible. Why? Because you're a child of holy God. You cannot be a part of that hellish host because you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. You have the very nature of God living in your being. And Satan can't stand you. Listen, he can't stand the Father, so one of the things he's going to do, he's going to try to take it out on you. Why do you think he attacks you from time to time? Because he despises the ground you walk on. He despises the fact that you name the name Jesus, you talk about Jesus, you pray to Jesus, you sing about Jesus, we fellowship in Jesus' name, we eat in Jesus' name. I mean, he can't stand the fact that you name the name of Jesus. So what's he going to do? He's going to put these ungodly missiles through your mind. He's going to put these ungodly darts through your thought pattern. And here's what so many people have told me. They said, oh, Pastor, I'm the worst person in the world. Why? Because I had a horrible, devilish, ungodly thought. And they honestly believe. And if Satan can get you to believe that, he will. Listen, just because you have an ungodly, devilish, hellish thought doesn't mean you wanted it and doesn't mean you've sinned. You say, now, wait just a minute. I just don't know if I believe that. Well, let me ask you a question. Should you go by your beliefs or should you go by the truth of Scripture? Always go by the truth of Scripture. The Bible says Jesus was tempted in all points. What's a temptation? It's an enticement. It's an allurement. It's that pushing in your mind and spirit to do evil. And so the Bible makes it very clear that, you know, we have an eternal enemy. And one of the things you have to understand is this. There is no neutrality in war. It is a silly thing for a person to think, well, you know what? I'm not going to get ready for war. Wouldn't you imagine it'd be a silly thing for somebody to say, you know what, I'm going to go to Iraq, but I'm just going to leave. I'm going to watch TV up until time to go. Well, what are you doing to get prepared? Nothing. I might take a gun with me, but I don't even know if I'll wear a gun. I think I'll have flip-flops on and, you know, just go casual in warfare. You'd want to help that person out in other ways. Why? Because they're not readying themselves for war. You know, when it comes to warfare, there is no neutrality. There is no middle ground when it comes to your life. You are either a victor or you are going to be a victim. You're going to learn to conquer temptation by the power of God, or you're going to find yourself devastated. You're going to find yourself way out here. Some temptation is going to come by your life, and you're going to just fall in, and you're going to walk into it, and you're going to, and then you're going to say, my God, how did I get here? Because you never developed a self-defense. And you see, because in the very case of warfare, as I said, there's no middle ground. Now think about it. We have an eternal enemy. But second of all, our eternal enemy launches attacks at us. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that there are those inward attacks and there are those outward attacks. Let me read you one passage of Scripture in 1 Timothy 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. But the Bible makes it clear there are those inward attacks. Let me ask you a question. Don't you answer this out loud. How many times have you heard Satan whisper to you? Now, he'll never tell you he's Satan. He'll never say, by the way, I want to introduce myself to you. I'm Satan, and I'm going to whisper in your ear. He don't say that. But let me ask you a question. How many times have you heard something like this? Don't just stand there, get even. Don't you let them honk their horn at you. You honk back. Go ahead and do it. After all, you can just ask God to forgive you. Or you know you have certain needs. After all, you're a human being. Here's what, God knows you're a human. And all these satanic whisperings, the whispering. Go ahead. If your wife loved you, she wouldn't treat you that way. If your husband loved you, he wouldn't treat you that way. Why do I say it and say it that way? Because there is a horrendous array of artillery that Satan uses when it comes to his whisperings. And here's the reality. They're all lies. They're all lies, but Satan don't care. He don't care about you. He don't care about your life. He don't care about any aspect of you. So here's what he's going to do. He's going to harass you and harass you and harass you and harass you. There was a time in my life, and I want to tell you how serious battle is. There was a time in my life, it was about probably about 15 years ago, when I absolutely despised mowing my yard. Now you say, now wait a minute, you've gone from satanic attack to mowing your yard. Listen carefully. Here's what would happen every time I would mow my yard. I despise mowing my yard. I don't mind mowing yards, but every time I would mow, for 2 hours, I had to mow my yard. And in those 2 hours, Satan would launch hellish missiles at my mind for 2 solid hours because, here's the reality, I didn't know, I wasn't prepared, I didn't combat him, so I allowed him to work on me. I allowed him to mentally harass me, and the reality of it is some of you are allowing him to harass you. There is absolutely no grounds in Scripture why you need to allow Satan to harass you, but here's the reality. Some of you don't know any better. Some of you don't know how to stand, and so you just hear these harassing voices over and over. I'm not important. I'll never amount to anything. I'll never be able to accomplish anything. I guess I'll just take the crumbs. Listen, that is not what the Bible says. That is not the Word of God, but here's the reality. If you don't know the truth, you can't counter lies. And that's why Jesus made it very clear. He wants you to know the truth. He wants you to comprehend the truth. He wants you to understand the truth. And so whenever it comes to satanic attack, he's going to whisper. And what he'll do, does Satan continually whisper in the framework of your mind?